Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. Boy, after a fantastic Easter Sunday here, it's good to have you back with us again this morning. The joy of knowing that we get to celebrate Easter every single Sunday here in our midst is one of the exciting parts about being in the Christian faith, and we certainly look forward to sharing that again this morning. But now that Easter is over, we've got some things coming in our midst, and the most important thing, and I'm repeating it, we're going to do as many things as we can this week to make sure everybody gets the word. If you haven't heard it already, next Sunday, one service only at 10 o'clock. Now, actually, that's not completely true because Saturday night we will have our regular worship schedule, 5 o'clock, service of Holy Communion, and a special 60th anniversary celebration then as well. In fact, as a group, we're going to be going out for supper after our 5 o'clock worship next Saturday night. Nothing fancy or anything like that, but just something hopefully you can join us if you'd like to. But one service at 10 o'clock, Pastor Charles Lintner, I talked to him Friday afternoon. He is excited about being able to come into our midst here. And after we're done with worship, we've got a dinner, a banquet, and a program planned over at Spartan Manor. Now, we need to get your tickets for that this morning. We need to have our count ready to go for next week. And so we'll have somebody available in the narthex to be able, where you can go and purchase those tickets for our banquet with the program that's going to be coming along with it. So, and now also in the midst of that, by next Sunday also, you notice that, especially on this side, we're starting to run out of space to put shoes. These are shoes for the souls. Now, that doesn't mean don't get any more shoes. What it does mean is if we're going to get some more shoes, let's get them this coming week. Even in the midst of our 60th anniversary celebration, we're going to have a short dedication on behalf of all those shoes so that early the following week we can get them to the schools. Because even this time of the year, they're out of shoes. They're calling for them. So if you'd like to help us buy a few pairs of shoes, shoes for the souls, boys, girls, smaller sizes, larger sizes. It really doesn't matter. I mean, the school's been asking for larger sizes, but just help us. Go and Walmart, Kmart, whatever it is, and get us some shoes that we can also add to the dedication as a part of next week. A moment ago, I was talking about banquets just a couple days after, and I don't want this to be forgotten because we do it every year. It is our I Believe banquet. And that's a part of confirmation, but confirmation is 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today, it's closing in on us quickly, and it's an exciting time for our students. The I Believe night is the night where the students present a little something about what their faith means to them. We don't charge for that particular banquet. We just need a count. How many of you would like to come? And so it's an exciting time for the people that are going to be confirmed as they declare publicly just what their faith has been for them. So let the office know if you would like to join us. That's on a Friday night, May the 5th, and the banquet starts at 6:30. Finally, just a couple of other things, a little bit about a summary for the Bible studies. We've just wrapped up our Regrets Reality Restoration Bible study. Now for the next two Sundays, there will be no Bible study. Next week with the 60th anniversary, no Sunday school or Bible class. We'll have the children singing at the end of next week's worship. Parents, take note, at the end of next week's worship. And then in 2 weeks, because of confirmation, no Bible study then either. Once we get to Mother's Day, we are going to bring back a study that we did, but a lot of you missed. It's a study that's called Death, Then What? An incredible study as we look at just what happens on the other side of the life that God has given to us. And that'll help take us partway through the summer. Finally, just a quick note on the home Bible study that we're going to have tonight. We have run into a conflict. We're going to have to set that aside for tonight, but we're going to have additional information on what we're going to be doing with that here in the months to come. So just a quick note about that. Finally, I just wanted to show everybody this, that we said this was coming down the pike, and here it is, the brochure for our cruise for 2018 for Faith Lutheran Church. We've got copies of it in the back. And it is something where at least the first group, they want us to move rather quickly. So if you have even slight possible interest, grab one of those brochures on your way out today. And then everything that you need to know is on there, including where to ask more questions. Please let us know that you were here this morning filling out those Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you this morning. We'll collect them during the offering. Our order of worship is from Divine Service Setting 1. If you need the musical notes for the different parts, it's on page 151 in our hymnals, or you may follow along the screens. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who call upon him, as he asks us to keep us in his grace, reminding us that the joy of forgiveness is ours. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the second Sunday of Easter. The first lesson is from Acts chapter 5. The apostles preached boldly in the face of opposition. St. Luke writes, "But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed and hanged him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.' When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, 'Men of Israel, take care of what you are about to do with these men, for before these days, Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. In the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God.' So they took his advice, and then when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is the word of the Lord." The second lesson 1 Peter chapter 1. Rejoice in your faith as it is tested. The apostle writes, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. And the only time, my friends, where the gospel lesson, regardless of the year that we're going through, is always the same for the second Sunday of Easter, the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Christ is risen. This is the gospel of our Lord. May God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, who teaches us about the joy and the power of the resurrection, Jesus rising from the dead. Amen. My text for this morning, even as we're going to be focused on the gospel lesson, one that we hear every year about Jesus appearing for the first time to his disciples in a very special message, but I'd like you also to remember these words from our second lesson. In this you find great joy, though now for a little while, if need be, you are being grieved by various trials. But this is taking place so that the genuineness of your faith, a faith that is more precious than gold, even though it perishes through tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the coming of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Friends, as we go through life, as we look back from years ago, there tends to be two different types of people that we remember. One of them is, and I got to be careful using a word like this in church. One of them is our childhood idols. Now, and I'm not talking about idolatry or anything like that. The people that we looked up to, maybe we wanted to be like them when we grew up. And, you know, I grew up in a particularly special age where so much was happening as I was growing up. When I was 9 years old, man landed on the moon for the first time. How exciting was that? And certain things that we almost take for granted today were just starting to come together. I mean, back now the Super Bowl may be a big deal, but the first Super Bowl happened when I was 6 years old and the stadium wasn't even half full. And yes, I did have my idol from the game of baseball, a game that was definitely the national pastime at the time. And I just had gotten word just a couple of weeks ago that while perhaps some of your childhood idols we may have lost, the one that I have is fighting a special and a nasty kind of bone cancer. But besides our idols, the other people that we remember are our teachers. And, you know, there was always that one special teacher that pushed you harder, that was much tougher on you than you remembered. Now, maybe some of you had a ton of teachers and it'd be impossible to remember all of them. I guess I kind of had an advantage because in 8 years of Lutheran education, grades K through 7, I had a grand total of 2. Easy to remember them. And certainly they made an impact on me and a couple of others. But, you know, one of the people that I also remember, at some point I had started off in a path of engineering, and I'll never forget my physics professor. And I'm sorry to say, no, I don't remember his name, but I remember him perfectly because, well, I'll say it this way. Physics is really tough. If there's anybody out there that thinks physics is easy, let you and I have a little chat when we're done here today. But no, physics was really hard. But what he did was he helped to make physics. He would always show how it is that what we were learning about applied. And even though it didn't make when you were taking tests go easier, you remembered him. You always had fond memories of somebody that helped to explain to you just what had happened that you didn't understand. Well, my friends, today, in our lessons, we have some teachers. Some people that are there to show us, to help make what had been for them at one time, the extremely complex, the extremely confusing, the extremely doubtful, understandable. And in my desire to always try to find a different approach to bring to you the message, especially for the Sunday after Easter, this morning we are going to learn at the feet of 3 of them. And, well, let's see, as we find out which one that we think the best teacher is going to be. Now, the reason I do this, you know, in the first lesson from Acts, there was that teacher named Gamaliel, highly respected by all the Jews and words of wisdom that have always humbled me. The fact that he said, now, you better be careful because you might even find yourself fighting God. And yet even somebody as respected as Gamaliel really didn't seem to know what to do with this person of Jesus risen from the dead. Maybe these 3 can help. The first one our first teacher for today is, as it often is, whenever we're dealing with the people from that time, is going to be Peter. I guess you could say I was in the most unique position of all of the disciples in terms of trying to make any sense out of what happened. I mean, you know what I did. It wasn't enough for me to join all my brothers in running away from Jesus when he was arrested. I had to circle back for the express purpose of denying that I even knew who he was 3 times. Everybody reminds me of that. And then came Sunday morning. And all of a sudden I went from sadness and despair and bitter weeping to confusion. Nothing made sense. Those women had gone to the tomb and they didn't find what they were looking for. And so I started off running, and I guess all you got to find out too, that also is not one of my gifts. If John had had a cell phone, he'd have had enough time probably to call every one of his relatives and tell them what happened before I ever got there. But once I did get there, I had in my mind what I was going to go inside and see. And I didn't like it. And I didn't want to see it. But when I went in, I didn't see what I thought. More confusion. More, what am I supposed to do with this? Because I'm expecting a grave robber. Supposedly, they had even sealed up the tomb to keep us from stealing, and yet I went in fully expecting that apparently somebody else had done the stealing for us. I didn't see that. There was this special face cloth that was wrapped around his head, and it wasn't just kind of ripped away and tossed aside, and I think you would know it when you saw it. It was rolled up in a place, gently, carefully, deliberately. It was sitting there by itself. So what was I to make of that? Well, then word started coming back. Mary Magdalene saw him. A couple of the other women saw him. A couple of these other disciples, one by the name of Cleopas on a road to Emmaus, saw him. Then came the most confusing moment of them all. He appeared to me. Just me. I don't really want to talk about it. Scripture really doesn't tell you much about it either, but nothing deep or magnificent about it except for the fact that it happened at all. Why would he give me, the person who had denied him 3 times, that opportunity? Well, I went and told the other disciples, of course, which led to tonight's scene and everything that happened after that. But there are 2 things that I want you to remember. Sometime later, Jesus appeared to me and all of us and specifically sought me out to ask me 3 different times if I loved him. I guess that was for each of the times I had deserted him. And as it worked out, this alive Jesus gave such boldness into me that you might have read that a little bit earlier, where all of a sudden, I'm not ashamed to say, we have to obey God rather than men. And I felt it a privilege to suffer punishment, to get beaten for the sake of Jesus Christ. Because his rising from the dead is everything. You may have to face that. That same opposition. That same kind of hatred where you haven't done anything except proclaim what Jesus has done for you. And if it happens that you're going to have to suffer for that, well, put your past behind you like I had to. Put aside all timidness and boldly proclaim what Jesus has done to you, and if you get punished for doing it, worthy is the person who is singled out for punishment, who is found worthy to be punished on behalf of Jesus. The best lesson of them all. Our second teacher is one that we will just call one of the other disciples. Well, I guess from the story that started Easter evening and actually culminated what would be tonight, you know who the stars are. Thomas, who I don't know where he was supposed to be that night, because once it became clear that what had happened, I mean, who cares where he was? He just wasn't there when Jesus came. And then, of course, Peter's always famous, and he and John were the ones that were ultimately arrested. And then, of course, there was that inner circle that also included Peter, John, and James, and I never understood that. James was part of that inner circle, and yet he was also the first one of us to be killed for what he believed in regarding Jesus. All that he had seen, he hardly even ever got a chance to share it. I don't know why. But after the main players, of course, Judas Iscariot is gone. Well, there were 8 of us. And I'm one of those 8. And to say that I was racked with fear when that night started was an understatement. If we could have had 50 deadbolts on that door, we'd have had them. Because when they had Jesus to target, it really wasn't fair that the rest of us ran away, but now here comes that word. Jesus is gone, and word is even starting to get out that he may have risen from the dead. Who do you think they're going to come after now? Well, not much has changed. They don't come after me anymore. They're coming after you, and don't forget it. But in any case, somehow, and I guess one way that we'll know that Jesus is back on the last day for good, he won't need any of these doors anymore. He's just going to come where he needs to come, just like he did for us. But it's not even that he did that. I mean, okay, he shows up and he lets us touch his hands and his side. I've never had the experience what Jesus went through, but I sure don't know that the first words out of my mouth would have been, "Peace be with you." And he said it twice. And I guess he was trying to make it clear. I mean, I heard a lot that day. I understood little. But why did Jesus first go to declaring peace? Because he is peace. The Prince of Peace has just shown that peace that surpasses all understanding is going to be ours forever now. And then he went on to something else. He breathed on us and gave us the forgiveness of sins. I'm almost dumbstruck from that. I watched Jesus do a couple of those miracles, healing sick and whatever. But before he did that, he would look at the person and say, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, the religious leaders of that time, and we still have enough people in our own day and age, that when all of a sudden here comes those words, "Your sins are forgiven," and their response is, "Well, who are you to forgive sins?" And yet, here is Jesus giving the forgiveness of sins to the whole church, giving us that same power that he won for us on the cross. And it's not something that we're supposed to use willy-nilly. It's not like I can point at somebody and say, "I like you, so I'm going to forgive you. But I don't like you, so I'm not going to forgive you." No, it doesn't work that way. When Jesus won the power of forgiveness by dying on the cross, as we believe in him, that power goes with us. We can say in the most difficult of circumstances, "You are forgiven." Sadly, it means that also that those that just want nothing to do with Jesus, no matter how much evidence there is, no matter how much it's clear that what the people really need out of life and want out of life, they get from him out of life and they don't want it anyway. Well, I guess there will have to be a declaration that they are not forgiven, but I'd rather keep the focus on you. Because you see, Jesus has risen for you too. And the first two messages he has for you: peace be with you. Your sins are forgiven. Finally, we have, of course, Thomas. I really don't know why you're looking at me like there was something wrong with me. What was I supposed to believe? I saw it. They killed him. They kept on killing him even after he was dead. I saw it. We have our unique ways of numbering our days, but the bottom line is it's only 48 hours later. And I start hearing through the day, I'd heard some things that I was off doing something else. It's not important what I was doing, but I wasn't there. I don't want to call these guys liars, but come on. I'd like to believe, but how? There are so many things I can go out and I can see them with my own eyes. And it's there. And it's real. Am I supposed to understand that from this point on, God's people are supposed to gather in places where they're going to give him their thanks and praise? They're going to bring their prayers forward. They're going to bring their offerings forward. They're going to lay their sins at the foot of the cross, and they haven't ever even seen him. Am I supposed to understand that the power of the Lord Jesus comes in with them, is with them as they receive the word and as they receive the sacrament, and goes with them when they leave, and they've never even seen him? Well, I guess that's the pattern, though. I had to learn myself. Jesus had to let me do the same thing, too. And I guess you could say that what I did was worse than Peter. Peter at least was smart enough that when Jesus turned and looked at him after he denied him three times, he wept and broke down bitterly. I spent 8 days in the worst kind of denial you can imagine. No. I don't care what you said you saw or what you thought you saw. Unless I get a chance to actually touch it myself, I'm never going to believe. Live with that. No. At some point, Jesus said to me, "Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." And I guess that's why that first teacher that we know so well said, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory because you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul." You know, you're going to be going through some times in life where your faith is going to be put on trial, where it's going to be tested. You're going to be feeling the refiner's fire burning inside of you. And all you're going to have is a faith in someone that you've never seen. Well, even as he found great joy to be worthy to be punished, even as he found great joy that and was able to say, as you're being grieved by various trials, it will be found in praise and glory and honor at the coming of Jesus Christ. That's the life, my friends, that you want to live. That is the life that's going to chase away all the doubt, all the sorrow, all the stubbornly hanging on to the same types of things that I did. I know, they killed him. And they killed him even after he was dead. But if he can beat that, and he did, and he showed me, what, even if you don't see him, do you think he can do for you? Well, my friends, whoever your teacher was today, class dismissed. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And at this time, let's confess our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. And please stand as we confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory, judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe, Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings, and if you've not yet filled out those faith fellowship cards, please do so. Please note the special prayer response. Your part is a little longer than it usually is. We lift up our hearts as we bow our heads in prayer. God of all grace, mercy, and peace, we praise you that by raising Jesus from the dead, you showed him to be the mighty Son of God, our Savior. We praise you also that our faith stands on that true and sure record of eyewitnesses and apostles of the risen Lord. Give us also the witness of your Spirit, that our hearts may always rest secure without doubt in your saving truth. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear our prayer, risen Lord, and strengthen us to witness our Easter faith. We thank you for the precious gift of eternal life in your Son. We live in a world that is filled with doubts, deceptions, danger, and so much more. Enable us to hold firmly to the faith that we profess. Deliver us from all of those things that would bring us to despair. Save us from human wisdom, letting us see instead the spirit of truth and the mind of Christ and the power of your holy and precious word. Let us pray to the Lord. We thank you for that holy word. Give us the earnest desire that as we have been fed and led by its saving truth, we may now feed and lead during our pilgrimage on this earth, so that we may always find ways to honor you. Help us as we find Jesus everywhere in scriptures, as we hear it, we read it, and we share it. And though we see him only with the eyes of faith, teach us to love him and to rejoice in him with a great and glorious joy. Keep us in his love that we may at the last receive the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Let us pray to the Lord. Pour out your blessing on your church, that it may always proclaim the gospel of the risen Lord with courage in the face of opposition, with zeal to all people, no matter what the danger might be. Watch over all of our institutions, our Christian schools, colleges, seminaries, and training institutions, that they may always produce people who desire to follow you, to serve you, and to carry out your good and gracious will. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear the prayers of all who need your special help and favor. We pray on behalf of the family of Autumn Bonds. Give to them and to all of us the assurance of your continuing mercy. When in your deep wisdom you permit a cross to be placed on any of us, remind us that you will not allow us to be tested beyond our power to remain firm. We now lift up before you someone in our own life that is in need of the comfort and strength that only you can give, that we name before you silently as we take a moment of private prayer. Strengthen us through the grace of Jesus Christ, that all things may be endured to your glory, to our own spiritual blessing. And as we go forth from this place this day, give us all your peace. For this we pray in the name of Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created. And since your only begotten Son, into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior, with repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us to you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes in the middle of page 10, the closing responsive prayer. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty God, on Easter evening, your Son sent his disciples out with the resurrection news of repentance and forgiveness of sins. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit that we may be witnesses to his resurrection within our society and among our family and friends. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Don't forget, friends, next week, one service only, 10 o'clock on Sunday. Christ is risen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.